At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Everyone has their own unique views and needs when it comes to financial success. If you'd like to leave your financial woes behind and live a life of financial freedom, you've come to the right place. Welcome to the Saving with Steve Show, hosted by Steve Sexton. The show will help you with the ins and outs of money. We talk about financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars and keeping you up at night. We talk about money, tax reduction, saving more, spending less, 401ks, risk management, retirement, and everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. Now, here is your host of Saving with Steve, Steve Sexton, on UK Health Radio.
Welcome to the Saving with Steve show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money. Pretty much everything in the sun relates to you having a happier, healthy relationship with money. My name is Steve Sexton. I do want to thank you for joining us. Thanks again for sharing us with your friends and families. We're almost 800,000 listeners, so I'm really grateful for that. And our overseas audience continues to build, so thanks for sharing us with everybody. Later in this episode, I'm going to be discussing the Social Security Trust Fund Report and what it means to you. But today, we're going to be talking about how to rebuild financial stability after divorce or loss of a spouse. You know, if you think about it, 40 to 50% of first marriages end in divorce. You know, we have people losing their spouse every day. The question is, how do you rebuild your finances? So we have Paige Hurley here. Now, Paige is an accomplished mediator, coach who specializes in helping individuals navigate divorce, post-loss adjustment, the complex realities of solo parenting, co-parenting, which is big. Paige brings depth of personal insight along with professional expertise. She holds a master's in conflict management and a bachelor's in psychology. She's a certified traumatic stress person. She's done a lot of studies there. Her work is grounded in trauma-informed principles and practical and compassionate approach. You know, she does her coaching through a platform called The Do's and Don'ts of Divorce. I love that. And hopefully a book's coming out later. Paige has supported hundreds of individuals' families finding clarity, stability, and hope after major life transitions, including loss of marriage or the death of a spouse. You know what? The big thing is this episode, she's going to share realistic, empowering guidance for anyone looking to rebuild their financial footing after a profound loss because of healing your finances. And reality is obviously, but often the first step of healing your future. So with that, Paige, I know I got long-winded there, but thank you for joining us today.
Of course.
My listeners and viewers are just so looking forward to this, especially with the volume of people who've researched or not researched, but say, hey, what about this? What about that? Yeah. But the first question I'd love to ask is, what you do is probably, it's a lot of work. You're dealing with a lot of people's pain, pressure, things like that. Why'd you decide to do this?
Right? I know. When people hear that I work with people in divorce, they're like, ugh, like that's a conversation killer usually. I, of course, you know, went through my own, which is why a lot of people do what they do. I was already working with families in trauma and I went through my own divorce and I realized that the system wasn't set up to really help people navigate in a way that left them better through the process, right? So the process itself was kind of crippling the people so that they were really like coming out of the whole thing. And I thought there has to be a better way. So went and took some more classes and figured it out. And that's why I do what I do. I'm passionate about it, passionate about helping people thrive on the other side of this. So I'm so grateful that you're covering this topic. And so everything I do, and you'll probably hear me talk about today, is through that trauma-informed lens. Because the reality is, if you're going through a divorce or if you've lost a spouse, that's a traumatic event. And we forget that so often. We say that in that big sense, like it's one of life's most traumatic events, but then we don't act like it in the practical sense, understanding what people really need to do. So
it's interesting you put it that way because it's a trauma. So let's just get started, dive right into it.
Yeah.
What's the first step or the process for rebuilding financial stability after a divorce or, you know, a loss of a spouse?
I think the first thing is to acknowledge the shock, right? So it doesn't even matter. So if we're talking about divorce and you're like, but I was the one who filed, there's still the shock. Like, you didn't get married to get divorced. You're still grieving. And a lot of people confuse that. Like, and certainly if you lost a spouse, even if it was over an extended period of time, same thing, you're in a fog, right? So when the heart breaks, the brain freezes, and especially when it comes to money, we probably have heard, I'm sure you talk about it, that that the time you don't want to make important decisions, especially financially, is when something big has gone on in your life, right? And yet you're forced, we need to make financial decisions still. So there was a 2021 study in Harvard Health that said that cognitive load in grief reduces problem solving by 50%. So if we just take that as a reasonable truth, I'm operating at 50% then. And we've got to make all these important decisions. And I think even just knowing that, one, to show yourself grief or grace is huge. And to maybe figure out for you what that means. Maybe it's allowing yourself a little bit more time. So I like to think of it like a continuum. Like, people will either avoid on one end, or they'll be impulsive on the other end, right? Like, people go out and just spend a boatload of money, or they just don't want to look at anything and they just bury their head. And then somewhere on top of all this, we're going to have decision fatigue, because Steve, you know as well as I do, there's a lot of decisions to be made if you're either going through a divorce or you've lost a spouse. All of a sudden you're like, like lots of things going on. So there's a lot of pieces that I think first, the foundation is knowing that reality. And so you give yourself some grace, look at it. And then one thing we talk about at Do's and Don'ts is the four types of divorce. The legal part, we all know, that's when you're going to get the piece of paper that says you're officially divorced. What people don't talk about are some of the other pieces. And the one that I think is really important for our conversation today is that emotional divorce. So you might, maybe you're the one who filed. And so you emotionally have been going through that process, and you're maybe at a better place emotionally to be negotiating. But if maybe your spouse, or maybe it's reverse, but if your spouse isn't there and this kind of caught them, you know, out of the blue, they're not ready to negotiate. And I see that all the time in my mediation practice, where people come to the table and they're giving away the farm because it's like, I want them to see how generous I am and that they're making a terrible decision to leave me. And then they later regret it because they weren't doing it from a sense of reality. Like, what do I need? What makes sense? You know, they're doing it out of desperation. Or they can be real jerks, right? Men or women, they can come to the table and go, screw you, I'm not giving you anything, because they're not ready to negotiate yet. And so knowing that piece is so important, both for yourself, where am I, and where is the other person, is important. So, and quickly, I'm just going to tell people the other two pieces, because I know that they'll be like, she said there's four types. What were the other two? But we're not necessarily talking about them today. The financial piece, which is as long as there's still a connection between you guys, if there's alimony, child support, you need them to pay part of the kids' bills, and you depend on that money, there's still a tie. So you are still married in a form, right? You still have this financial tie. And then the last one is social divorce. And I think it's important for people to understand that it takes a while for all the people to finally hear that you're divorced. So we gave people a little bonus, has nothing to do with anything that we'll talk about those other two parts necessarily, because that financial piece of the divorce really goes into the specifics of negotiating a divorce settlement. But I think it's important to understand, and that emotional piece is so important, and we don't talk about it enough.
If you're listening, you're not the only one going through this.
Yeah.
So again, just like Paige said, take your time with it. If somebody's going through something like that and they're thinking that way, would it be really good for them to get in contact with somebody like yourself? You help them get prepared for that mentally, emotionally, so they can work through some of those things so they can really realize what's going on as opposed to try to have that trigger to save things.
Yeah. Well, I'm gonna do a shameless plug here then right now. Yes, you can get in touch with me. And because, like we talked about, I went through this myself. I'm really sensitive to people paying. You guys, I'm not inexpensive to hire me. And most people probably don't need to hire me one-on-one, because what I felt like I was always doing was giving people the same advice. I'd get off the phone, I'd take another call, I'm like, this is nuts. Like, what if we did it like group fitness, where you guys come and we do a class together essentially? Because although I'm going to tweak it for individuals, you guys can benefit from hearing what I'm doing with everyone, right? And so that's why we did the do's and don'ts of divorce. It is dirt cheap. Anybody can afford it. It's $47 a month, and you get weekly live coaching, because I want people to keep money in their own pockets, right? Like, this is expensive enough, no matter how you slice it. And I think that that is important, because people don't realize the importance of it. And we can talk about that maybe as we go on, and some of my points that I wrote for my notes. But people want to rush through this. That is so common. And if I had like one piece of advice I can say to people, it's probably slow down. And that's why we're starting with that piece of like the emotional, to acknowledge whether you've lost a spouse through death or divorce, this is really hard. And give yourself a little bit of grace. And no one gets an award for like getting through the process the fastest. There's no such thing, right? So you will, and I've never met one person, because I see a lot of people post-divorce, that they're trying to renegotiate maybe parenting plans or whatever. I never had one person come to me and say, Paige, I wish I would have pushed through my process faster. But I have a lot of people who say, I should have taken my time. I just wanted it over with. And then they regret it.
The next big thing is, hey, where do we start?
Okay. So I want people to start. I call it the four C's of financial clarity, but you start with your cash flow. What do I have coming in? What do I have going out? Right? Mortgage, rent. What are all the bills that I at least know of? And just know there might be things that you don't think of too. And what do you have coming in? Maybe this is where we kind of alluded to it in the first segment, is some people might have to return to work. So it's like, what do I have coming in? Nothing. And I don't know yet if I'm going to get any kind of alimony, child support. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't really like. And so you need to start by kind of just assessing, like, ooh, okay, this isn't good. My income is zero. I have nothing coming in as of right this second. And I know that I'm going to have, like, you, this is not, we're not trying to figure anything out. We're not trying to figure out, am I keeping the house? Are we selling it or anything? You're just trying to figure out, I'm going to have some sort of housing costs. I'm going to have utilities. I'm going to have a car payment. Maybe I'm going to have cell phone, whatever the things are you think you're going to have. We're trying to ascertain, and what's really happening, right? We're trying to get a snapshot of things. Then looking at the critical bills that you know that you have coming up, right? Like, so are you in the house? Are you in the apartment that you have to pay it? Who's paying it? Who's gonna do these things? The things that need to get paid. You don't want to be evicted. You don't want your car repossessed, right? And this is, if you've lost a spouse too, it doesn't matter if this is divorce or death that we're talking about. Like, I don't want you to have a crisis in the middle of another crisis. So figuring out what those are. So we've got our cash flow, we've got our critical bills, and then contracts and legal. I want you to figure out what kinds of things you're going to need to change your name on, right? At some point, like, is this going to be a problem if, let's say, somebody's renting? And is this going to be a problem that we're both on the lease, that we're both on the bills, and this person is moved out? Like, those type of things is what I'm talking about. Then there's the second part of those, which might be things that we're going to need to change down the line, taking somebody off of a mortgage or a quit claim or something for the house. I want you to look at like what accounts are joint, and I want you guys to get a credit report, please, because in a divorce, I find people forget that, oh gosh, we haven't used that card in forever, and I guess it was never closed. And guess what? Amazing. The ex somehow figures out that and uses a card, and it can go crazy. So start with a credit report, but also kind of what else do you need maybe sooner than later that you need to make sure and or that you have access to as well? Like, do you have a joint banking account? Do you have access to that account? It's amazing how many people don't or don't even know where their mortgage is. And guys, we're not going to shame you because that's what Steve was talking about. That's why people were asking about groups, because you'd be surprised. So many people don't. You're going to go, I'm such an idiot. I can't believe I did that.
So let me just talk about life here real quick.
Yeah.
And I would recommend you write it down as a, you know, some people's spreadsheet, but I write it down. Because then you know it when you write it down. Yeah. That's what I found. People go, I know it that I've written it down. If I had it on a spreadsheet, I forget it.
Yeah, me too, Steve. I'm so old school. I love people to actually write it down. But there are some actual studies that show that it's important. There's something different that happens in the brain when we write things down. That is so common in a divorce too. It's the same thing. Like, people have no idea what they're spending. And that's why people, one, aren't going to not feel alone in this. They're going to realize that that's more common than it is uncommon, right? People don't know what they're spending. And so the good news is that they're going to get to start over. Now you kind of get to go, okay, like, now I get to really figure out, am I living consistently with what my values are, what's important to me? And you get to rewrite your story now, like, it starts over. But getting there is really, really hard. And one thing that's why I said in one of these was that we're not trying to figure out who's keeping the house or anything like that. We're just figuring out, like, what are you going to need? Like, okay, I'm going to need some sort of housing money. I'm going to need some sort of food money. I need, you know, clothing. And yes, and that's why you do need some sort of a professional to kind of help guide you and work with you to look at it. Like you said, because you're like, I don't see any food on this list. Do you eat? You know, because we're all going to miss things. And so having somebody who's used to looking at these things that can point out like, hey, what about this? What about this? Because those things add up really fast.
Mm-hmm.
And women tend to, in my experience, and I think the stats show it too, want to keep the marital home. And sometimes they're not aware of all the costs that are associated with that. And that scares me. I always pause and we go into a deep dive about the reality of still staying in a marital home, because statistics show 1 in 3 women are paying over that 30%, which is the kind of guideline that people use for how much of your income should go to housing after a divorce, because they insist on keeping the marital home. And it may not always be the right choice. And they're doing it out of emotion and not logic. Doesn't mean it's the wrong choice, but I think if they would slow down and look at the bigger picture and what it all means, they might have made a different choice, right? And so helping people goes back to that just slow it down a little bit. We're not in a rush. I know you preach that too. Like, we've got some time. Some of this stuff is time sensitive. We want your bills to be paid. We don't want the cars repossessed. We don't want you to go into foreclosure. Like, we need to take an assessment of like what's going on, what needs to be paid, what's going, you know, what's going in and out. And also then we're going to move into kind of how are we going to structure this so that you can start building some solid routines so that you can start looking forward, right? We're just talking now, like, getting you through the moment, and now we want you to thrive.
So before we move into the next segment, I just want to share something, basically what you just said, from one of our listeners. And this is Jessie from Mobile, Alabama. And basically, I'm going to paraphrase what she said. She says, you know what? It was so important for me to keep the family house. And all I thought about was the mortgage, the insurance, and the taxes. I didn't think about the $200 a month to keep the gardeners, to the water, the upkeep on the house. And she goes, I almost went into foreclosure and I had to sell it to one of those discount sellers because I wasn't able to afford it. And what I thought was affordable, when you add in all those other things, it became almost more than half of what my income was. So we just happened to have an older house that needed a lot of stuff. And here I am spending to keep that up, but I didn't have anything else. So, you know what, you really want to take a look at that. That's one of the reasons why your expenses are so very important, that you get, not to make be funny, but to be anally detailed on what you'd be spending. That's internet, that's streaming stuff, $15, $5, $20, it all adds up. And some of those things could put you in a situation where you don't want to be down the road. So I just wanted to share that. Folks, stick with us. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying, so accurate. Yeah, so accurate. Can I add one more thing?
Please.
And those big expenses, right? Do you have enough if your water heater goes, if your air conditioning unit goes, if you need a new roof? Like, what about those? Like, so yes, we need to really make sure that you're making wise decisions.
Yeah. So air conditioner, $12,000, $15,000. New roof, $20,000.
Yeah.
Water heater,
numbers.
$500, $600 plus a plumber. So you know what? All those little things make a big difference. So folks, you really want to stick with us. We've got a lot of great information that Paige is sharing with us. So we'll be right back. See you soon here, right here on Saving with Steve.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve Show on UK Health Radio.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve Show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton, on UK Health Radio.
Hey, welcome back to the Saving with Steve Show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money, pretty much everything that under the sun relates to you having a happier, healthy relationship with money. We have Paige Harley here. She's been talking about, hey, how to get on solid financial footing, whether you've lost a spouse through the divorce or them passing. And we've been talking about, you know what, where to get started. The next thing we want to talk about is, you know, once you get going here, you've got a new life. So there's got to be some sort of routine that needs to be built. Paige, you know what, how would somebody go about building that new routine?
Can I go backwards? I realized I only gave you three of my four C's. So the last one's clarity, but it goes right into this. So clarity is like, what are the financial goals for the next 3 months, 6 months, year, 2 year, et cetera. And maybe for the next 3 months, you're going to show yourself grace to just go, I just want to get a picture about what I'm doing, right? Like, where does my money go? How, maybe if I have to enter the work place. What realistically am I going to be able to earn? Do I need to go back to school? You're really trying to get a snapshot, right, of doing that. And then, yes, now we need to figure out how to build a rhythm of taking care of your financial life into our day-to-day living, right? And so I recommend that people once a week have a financial check-in. It should take 15, 20 minutes. Like, you're going to have a budget, a working budget. You're going to have to do this legally. Your attorney is going to ask you to do it. Your mediator is going to ask you to do it, because that's how we're going to make decisions regarding finances. Hopefully you've worked with somebody that's helped you really get a pretty good working budget, and then you're going to keep messing with it. It's not going to be perfect. It's not meant to be perfect. Things are going to come up and you're going to, oh, I didn't realize I do. Like we just said in the last segment, I need to be putting money aside for like big house expenses. You know, where's that coming from? Like, I need to make sure like I can cover it if something happens and I need a new water heater. So, okay, note to self, I'm going to change some things around. It's a work in progress. You're going to check in, make sure things are getting paid. And then I like people to find something that makes it doable for them. You and I have talked about, like, you know, you can do a spreadsheet. Like, that might be dry, maybe for some people it works, but what will make you really get after this? Like, what can we do? I like some of the apps out there. There's tons. There's free ones. There's ones you have to pay a little bit for. I don't know if you have any favorites. My favorite is the one that appeals to you and that you'll use. I mean, I'm like, whatever looks good to you, you know, is like, if you'll use it, then fantastic. It's kind of like workout programs. There's tons out there. Whatever one appeals to you is good, because you've got to get in that rhythm. And I find one place, especially going through a divorce, that people get really stuck is their bills from their attorneys. And I get it. That is a horrible piece of paper to come in the mail, and you are terrified to open it. It is never good. I mean, it's always like, ooh. And people just don't look at it. Like, sometimes whatever your arrangement is with your attorney, some people have a credit card on file. Some people, you know, you've got a retainer. So at first you might get some bills and it's just coming out of the retainer. And then eventually, like, you might either have to pay it or they've got a credit card. And so people aren't even paying attention. They don't want to know. It's icky. Guys, you've got to know. I can't tell you how much money I've saved my clients just by opening up the bill and actually reviewing it. And I think it's an important takeaway for people today. You guys should be going over it, and you should be verifying that it's accurate. And you can push back and you can say, like, why did you bill me for this? So common things that I see happen are like calls that you're having to make to them to follow up on something that they said they were going to do, but they didn't do, and they still bill you. And as far as I'm concerned, that's a no-go. And most of the time, in fact, I mean, really, I can't think of it ever not happening. When I have clients that we work with, either through do's and don'ts or private clients, that I coach, when they push back with their attorneys, they take it off.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not as big and scary as you think, but you guys, like, this adds up to real money. If you can save, like, most attorneys are very expensive. And I usually, the people that work with me as a private coach, they're paying $500, $600, up to $1,200 an hour for attorneys. Oh my gosh. So getting a couple hours off is significant. And people don't, one, know that they can do that. Two, like, they're too scared to even look at the bills. I mean, that is such a common fear. They're like, I would rather do just about anything than have to open up my attorney's bill. But you need to be verifying that it's right and that it's accurate. And you need to push back if you don't think it's fair. And you need to keep notes yourself. You should know. And it's a good way to keep on top of where your divorce is in the process. And so it's going to give you, like, some insight, I promise. when you open it, you'll be glad that you did, and it'll empower you and kind of start building that muscle for taking control of your finances, right? Like, I'm not a pushover. Like, I agreed to pay you for your services, but like, you're not gonna, you know, take advantage of me.
The reality is, if you ask, they're a business professional. If it's not right, they got to take it off. It's just the way it is.
Yeah.
And you know, after that, you know, and afterwards, they could be having a problem too for their own livelihood if they don't. But you can save money that way. But more importantly, you can look at it every single week and say, "I'm taking control of this," which gives you a great feeling.
Two most important resources are our time and our money. And that's one of the things we talk a lot about at Do's and Don'ts, is getting as a baseline your finances and your time under control and really being able to know what is realistic, right? So if you're in the middle of a divorce and you don't know what your finances are, how in the world are you negotiating anything? Because you don't know what's realistic. What are you going to need? You know, what can you pay out? And same thing with your time. If you're really not understanding what your time looks like, how are we creating parenting plans when you don't really have an idea of where your time is? And so I know sometimes clients get frustrated with us at the beginning when we're such sticklers on it, but they thank us later by saying, "I'm so glad that you really helped us create that baseline." From there, then you can build and know truly what you need and what things are costing. Because if I'm being really stereotypical, if you have like a husband who's working and maybe a stay-at-home mom, this person, the working person, we'll say the dad, may not really have a good sense of what the costs are for the kids, right? Because he doesn't really pay them. He doesn't really look at them. He doesn't know like how ridiculously expensive every single activity your child will do, right? You think you're signing them up, it's like $100. And then they go, "Oh, but you have to buy the uniform, and then you have to pay for traveling." And yeah, like, you're like, "Wait, I thought it was going to cost me $100 to join this team." They don't sometimes understand all that goes into it. And the same on the other side too, right? So you may not be able to negotiate if you've been out of the workplace. Like, we really need to get a plan. We always start with the end in mind. We look and we help people go, "Where would you like to be in 10 years? And we kind of back into it so that we can make good decisions for today. Like, do you need to go back to school? Like, this isn't going to cover it. If you're maybe in school full time and you can't contribute much financially to the bottom line, and he can't afford to pay you enough to really sustain, like, how are we going to do this?" And people tend to want to move through the process too quickly to really evaluate these things, make mistakes, and then later regret it and say, I wish I would have found you, you know, X number of years ago, Paige." And I'm like, I do too, because it breaks my heart. It breaks my heart to hear people coming after the fact when it didn't need to be this way. Yeah.
You can be in a position where you actually control your life, which makes it a little easier. And yeah, you can also take the emotion, some of the emotion, out of this divorce, which obviously, like you said, helps people make bad decisions.
Yeah.
We're so lucky to have Paige Harley here. She's given us a mountain of information. And you know what, Paige, we've gone through the different emotions at the beginning. What's next?
I think this is the exciting part. So now we're going to move from surviving to really planning, thriving, right? This chapter might have caught you off guard, but the next one is yours to write. And so we're taking all those pieces, and it's not linear, but we know we've taken an assessment of where we are emotionally. We know that this is hard. We've shown ourselves grace. We've taken stock of like all the things. We've started to create a rhythm for ourselves with how we're going to like budget. We're doing all the right things. And now we're going to be really intentional. We're taking what we talked about, like some of those goals. And now we're going to start putting them into action. Right. And so now we're going to budget with our new identity, right? It doesn't matter, if you're the husband, if you're the wife, if this is a divorce, if this is a death, like who do we want to be in 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, right? What does that look like? And so do I need to build my credit? Do I need to rebuild my credit? Do I, you know, I need financial independence? Am I returning to work? There's so many cool things that can be happening during this. And one thing I think Steve and I have probably really beat to death probably is like the timing piece, right? Like, you guys, give yourself grace and give yourself time. Because when I say this, it might sting a little when I say, please say it isn't so, but it takes on average 3 to 5 years to recover after a divorce financially is what they say, and kind of get everything back onto, you know, a reasonable road, whatever that looks like. And it doesn't mean like recover your finances or build back up your savings account necessarily, but it means finding your new path, right? Like, so if you're having to go back into the workplace, or, you know, you're having to maybe save now for another down payment for a home or something, like just whatever it looks like for your situation. So knowing that, give yourself grace. Like, okay, it's going to take a minute. I don't need to go, oh, that doesn't apply to me, Paige. I'm going to do it. I'm going to be back in a year. Like, probably not. Just, there's a lot going on. But that doesn't mean things are going to be awful for the next 3 to 5 years. It just means you're in that process of trying to figure out what all these pieces are for you and navigate these things and how it works. And, you know, maybe if you're the one paying child support or alimony, like getting in the rhythm of this extra bill that you haven't been used to paying, right? I mean, whatever it is, like, if you guys have to do a quadro and do some paperwork, that's done once the divorce is final. So like, then, you know, you've got that. That's going to take you several months to get through.
In this, you want to get comfortable being uncomfortable.
That's my favorite quote. Yep.
Yep. So, you know what? We've got a few minutes left. I would really love, just because of all the responses that we received, is for you just share some information about how you go about helping people, your group, and how people can go about getting a hold of you.
Yeah. All right. So you can find me, jpageharley.com. You can go to dosanddonts.com or on all that. We have a big TikTok following, oddly enough. I'm not a TikTok girl, but we're on all social media. I think the coolest thing that we do, and really our heart, because it's not just me at Do's and Don'ts of Divorce. It's me. I also have a CDFA that I work with, and we have a life coach, and it's the three of us. And we do live weekly coaching calls so that people can have a sense of community. We have all the videos in our membership, so you can go and look up and find lists and all the things from, you know, things to bring with you to court to kind of read through, to calm you, to, you know, how to, questions to ask attorneys when you're interviewing, and everything in between. But I think the most important piece is that weekly personal connection where you can go, because we all know you read a book or whatever, and you're like, okay, but I get it, but like, what about this one thing, and how do I tweak it? Or what about like, if there's this other piece of it? That's what's so cool. You can go and you can ask. And I made it affordable so that no one has any excuse not to be prepared and not to thrive after divorce. It's $47 a month. Everyone can afford that. Everyone. And so that was our heart. It's our gift to people, because I want you guys to keep your money. I want you to know all the things that I wish I knew before I started, and all the people that come to me after the fact, and to really thrive.
That's wonderful. Again, thank you so much for being here, Paige. This has been wonderful. I know our listeners and viewers are just loving this, and they're taking notes. So folks, you can obviously go to savingwithsteve.us and watch this over and over and over again. And you're probably going to want to go to dosanddonts.com. Do's and Don'ts of Divorce, correct?
Yeah, Do's and Don'ts of Divorce.
Dosanddonts.com to get more information. And you know what? It's always nice if you're going through something, you're going through it with a whole bunch of people that are going through it as well. So they can ask questions, you can ask questions, and you can get more answers, so that when it's time for you to do things, you can be asking yourself and others questions you didn't think or know to ask, which is beautiful. So with that, Paige, I want to thank you for being here. And you know what? We'll probably have you back with the response that we're getting again. So again, thank you so much. Folks, stick with us. We'll be right back with more Saving with Steve.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve show on UK Health Radio.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
The station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton, on UK Health Radio.
Hey, welcome back to the Saving with Steve show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money, pretty much everything under the sun relates to you having a happy, healthy relationship with money. Again, I want to thank you for joining us, sharing with your friends and family. I do want to talk about this last piece. We recently received the Social Security Trustees Report for 2025, okay? The combined trust fund for Social Security and Medicare that pays retirement income to survivors, divorced people, disability benefits are projected to fall short of fully covering payments by 2034. Okay, so we're looking at that's like 9 years away. At this point, approximately 80% of the scheduled benefits would be payable. So that means if they're unable to pay those benefits, everybody's Social Security payment in the world is going to get reduced by 20%. Okay. The Social Security Trust Fund warns that the failure to act soon will make future solutions more painful and disruptive. The projected shortfall in Social Security highlighted in the 2025 report is a looming crisis that we know is going on for years that demands immediate attention. With the trust funds are set to enable to fully cover benefits in less than 10 years. That means millions of retirees, survivors of Social Security could face deep reductions. Now, this is a distant concern, and it is rapidly approaching. So the important parts here is this. You know what? It's time to start making this an issue with the politicians. Doesn't matter what side of the fence you're on. This is going to affect every single retired person, everybody that's on Social Security disability, everybody's receiving a survivor's benefit or a widower's benefit or a divorce benefit. They're all going to be affected, okay? So the big thing here is this. You can do two things. One, talk to your politician about getting this resolved. This is a very tough topic because anytime they talk about Social Security trust funds and all that stuff, big problem here is people typically don't get elected if they're looking to reduce the benefits. Now, in the past, what the politicians have done is they've increased the amount that people have to contribute from their payroll to Social Security. They are also looking at really increasing that amount. They're also looking at increasing full retirement age from 67 to 68, which would save money, okay? But the big thing here is this. The Social Security Trust Fund is grown or funded by everybody that's working, okay? So if you have a lower unemployment rate, more people will be funding this. Problem is, if you have a lot of people receiving Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid that shouldn't be receiving it, that also drains it. So it's very important that, again, you talk with politicians. Now, if you're about to retire or retired, it's so very, 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 very important to look at what we call your purpose money. This is the money that's obligated to support and maintain your lifestyle, your cost of living. It's there in, when you pass away for your spouse. It covers your long-term care. It covers all those things. So when you're looking at that, You want to make sure, hey, what if my Social Security goes down by 20%, 25% in 7, 8, 10 years? What does that mean? Do I have the assets to support and maintain my lifestyle? When it comes to that purpose money, that money that's obligated to do those things for you, that continue in your spouse, cover your retirement, long-term care stuff, how is it invested? Is it invested so that if the market goes down, hey, you're going to have to reduce your lifestyle? Because reality is nobody retired and said, hey, I want to have financial problems. They retired to have a stress-free life. And if you want a stress-free life, it's very important that you look at how you go about creating an income that supports and maintains your lifestyle that's obligated to you, whether the market goes up, down, or sideways. So think about that, folks. That's the thing you want to talk about. That's the thing you want to make sure you have covered. Because if you don't have it covered, your lifestyle is changing. And like I said, nobody wants to change their lifestyle in retirement. So with that, I want to thank each and every one of you today for joining us. Paige Harley was outstanding. You can go to the savingwithsteve.us page and, you know, episode 244 with Paige Harley. She's going to go through all that. That's so very important. And when it comes to your Social Security, so very important to also make sure you can support, maintain your lifestyle for the rest of the time that you live. So with that, thank you so much. Hope you all have a wonderful day. Look forward to seeing you next time right here on Saving with Steve. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us on the Saving with Steve show, hosted by Steve Sexton on UK Health Radio. To learn more about the show and how to become a guest or sponsor, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us. Join us again next time as we continue to talk about everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happier relationship with money. This has been the Saving with Steve show, hosted by Steve Sexton on UK Health Radio.